All right. Good to be in church tonight. Amen. I really mean that. I don't just say that. I really do mean it. I appreciate your prayers for my wife. Amen. She started making progress last evening a little bit. And when she came out of the bedroom this morning, I could tell that she was doing better. And then after the manicure and pedicure, she was doing much better. Yeah, I even sprang for it. Amen. I needed her here. Amen. So, again, but you know, we're going to give the credit to the Lord. And I don't know exactly what it was, but I appreciate your prayers. I really mean that. I know God answers prayer, and that's a major one. You know, anything that has to do with her is a big deal to me. So we're going to try to stand a couple and try to be a blessing to you. But I'll tell you something. You know, you asked for testimony. I'm going to tell you, it is a privilege for us to be here. And the more times we come and the better we get to know some of you and the more at home we feel and we watch God work in people's lives. And what a blessing it is to be part of something that's real. And so we really treasure your friendship. Brother Mike and I have been friends for a long time, but as we come and get to know the rest of you better, what a joy. God's blessed you, buddy. Yeah, man, and you too. And you too. Amen. Somebody told me he is engaged. I was wondering if there was any surgery they could do on her eyes, but they said no. See, I can kid with him. Some of you I couldn't, see. You're too thin-skinned. And he might pull the plug on me, too. I don't know, but I hope not. Amen. All right. Am I in the right place? I mean, I got a mic here, right? So we're cool, right? Okay, turn it off, because I'm singing now. All right. Let's do this. I won't be needing that.
You ready?
I reckon.
I've never got over that I am not under the bondage of sin anymore. I'm still amazed that Jesus would pay a debt I could not afford. I've never got past that I'm free at last from the sins that made me a slave. I still feel as much as when he first touched me, oh yes, I'm still amazed. I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. I'm still in awe that he paid it all for an old sinner like me. I've never got over that this king would shoulder my sin with all its disgrace. Yes, Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh, yes, I'm still amazed. I'm amazed this stranger would accept a manger in trade for a kingly throne. I'm still at a loss why he'd take the cross instead of the streets of pure gold. He's the only king who gave everything in exchange for cold, dark grave. I still love to ponder this God-given wonder. Oh, yes, I'm still amazed.
Are you?
I'm amazed to know how far God would go to set a lost man free. I'm still in awe that he gave it all for an old sinner like me. I've never got over that this king would shoulder my sin with all his disgrace. Yes, Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh, yes, I'm still amazed. Yes, Calvary's hill still gives me a thrill. Oh, yes, I'm still amazed.
Amen.
Amen.
I am still amazed. The longer I'm saved, the more I get to know me, the more amazed I am that He gave me the time of day. Let alone y'all too. Amen. I told my preacher, well, they didn't get that. I told my preacher a long time ago, I said, if I ever start to get over it, just preach the hell out of me till I get right with God.
Amen.
And he said, okay. And he did, and he finally God let me go off. And
Amen.
Every once in a while I go home and they preach the hell out of me again. And that's what we need. Their church is meeting all over America every week, and you know what the goal is, or at least this is what happens. People go in and sit down, and somebody, I'm not even going to say the word preacher, gets on a platform and spends 15 minutes, maybe 25, making people feel good about themselves. And they leave feeling good about themselves. They're no closer to Jesus Christ. No closer to being pleasing to Jesus Christ, but they feel good about themselves.
Amen.
And one thing I've learned about evangelism and how God directs me and my message, He showed me this. The problem is most people already feel too good about themselves. And we need to see ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God. And then we'll see Him for who He is, the man that paid the debt that we owed.
Amen.
Amen. See, I got something saying. Problem Brother Dean does. You know, when you're a preacher, you can't help but comment all the time. You can't help it because it's in you.
Right.
So when you let a preacher sing, that's what happens.
Amen. Well, I had wanted to say thank you for praying for myself.
I'll go sit down.
Not just from David. No, I just wanted to say thank you very much. I just knew right after he went to church, I started little by little starting to feel better, and I just knew it was the Lord. So thank you. And we're going to sing a song about prayer, by the way. And I'd like to thank you for any prayers that you pray for us any other time as well. Because sometimes when we were first in evangelism, we were at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get to the next church and came upon another accident that had not been discovered yet. It was just brand new accident in the middle of the highway. And I thought, nobody knows. Nobody's praying. The devil said. Nobody's praying for you. Nobody at your home church remember. You know, I mean, we were just cut away from our home church. And boy, as we started traveling, I just realized how much prayer is important for the times where something comes that nobody knows about in the whole world. And you're just out there alone, disconnected from everybody. So thank you for your prayers
Amen.
Throughout the year as well.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Praise the Lord.
By frail and human hands that an enemy can scale and get to you. But there's one protecting me from my greatest enemy. It's a wall that Satan can't break through. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. Oh, my brother, when I'm weak, would you stand instead for me and build a fortress around me strong that can't be moved? And I promise you today, when I bend my knees to pray, I'll do my best to build a wall of prayer for you. Sometimes a wall of grace, sometimes a wall of faith, other times it's sweet mercy that I need. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me. But the one for which I long, it makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. There you go. Amen. This pulpit still preaches good, Eli. He did a good job. Amen. Threatened him. One year he made a step for my motorhome. I said, man, you better build your preacher a new pulpit. Amen. He did a good job. Take your Bible tonight and go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Psalm 63 tonight. We'll look together in verse 1. Now here's what it says. Psalm 63 tonight, verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Can you say that tonight?
Amen.
I mean, He's God.
Amen.
He's God, period. He's God of the people that deny Him. He's God of the people that choose to worship a different God. He's God of the people that deny He exists. If they only knew how merciful He is. Because if He denied they exist, they wouldn't exist. I like the thing it said back in the 60s, Nietzsche said, God is dead. Amen. And then a little later, God said, Nietzsche is dead. Yeah, guess who is right? Amen. He says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Wouldn't it be good to see Him working out there the way we've seen Him work here? Amen. Every once in a while we get a glimpse. Every once in a while God gives us an opportunity to bring up His name and tell of His grace and brag on His glory. And we get to see folks come to Christ. Tell you what, there's a day coming when that's going to be a regular event. It's called the millennium. And we'll see His glory out there. Amen.
Amen.
That stuff's what keeps me going.
Amen.
Verse 3, because Thy loving kindness is better than life.
Amen.
Amen. I will lift up my... Nope, verse 3. My lips shall praise Thee, thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. I used to lift up my hands for another reason.
Step away from the vehicle. Keep your hands where we can see.
I don't do that anymore. I lift up my hands to praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Some people do it at a baseball game. If you like baseball, that's good. I don't have a problem with that. But don't you dare hold back on God. Amen. It's good preaching already. Even if I am doing it. Amen. All right. Verse 1. It's good to hear my wife a little chuckle out there today. I just got to say that. I missed it yesterday. Amen. Verse 1. Oh God, Thou art my God. Look at it says. Look at it says. Early will I seek Thee. Early will I seek Thee. I ought to preach on that word early. Tonight, or thought, or theme, or something. I didn't give you the title yet. You'll get it in a minute. But I want to begin with an illustration. You know, not only do I get the privilege of coming to New York City, I also get the privilege to go to Los Angeles every year. We drive that motorhome back and forth, back and forth. I don't know what the record is, but I've got to be approaching it. Amen. And we get to go out there, and there's a little church in a community called San Pedro, just south of downtown L.A., dear friend is a pastor, precious, a group of people just like you all are. Amen. We love going there. Amen. We're right at home there. We plug in at their church and go to other churches around the area just like we do here. Amen. We don't have to do that. It's a pleasure. Amen. That way we're surrounded by friends all the time. Amen. And there's a restaurant. This church is right up the hill from the Los Angeles Harbor, and it's fascinating to watch those cranes unloading all those ships, and the cruise ships come in there too, and they call it the Port of Call, and it's an international port, and there's a restaurant down there, and it's a high-class restaurant. I don't know how many stars it has, but it's more than McDonald's. Amen. It's fancy, like cloth, tablecloths, you know, some of you are used to that stuff. Amen. It's real fancy, which means what? It's real expensive. And they tell me the food's real good, but we knew, me and the pastor, we knew that you know, he'd love to take me there, but it's pretty expensive. And then the pastor's wife told us about something they call the early bird special. That's the name of the message tonight. The early bird special. It used to be called early bird gets the worm, but that didn't go over that well. So it's early bird special. They got a special there, and if you go there at 4 o'clock, you get to go in, and it's real fancy, and there's some dishes on the menu, about 4 to select from, and they're really good and maybe a little smaller than the $50 plate, but man, I'll tell you what, the early bird special enabled my wife and I and my pastor friend and I to get in on this really, really neat thing, this fancy place. I appreciate that. I look at stuff like that like a gift from the Lord. We took in our kids there. Rachel's been there. Evie's been there. And we would get the table right on the water. Because, I mean, going out into the harbor and you know, we can watch the activity, the sea lions swimming around, eating the dead fish. You know, that's really appetizing. And then all that. One time we're sitting there, and here comes a cruise ship. Like, just past the restaurant is where the cruise ship stopped. Giant love boats. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, I preach in cities that have less people in them than those ships. Amen. And so one time we're sitting there eating, and here comes this giant cruise ship on its way out to sea. And, well, it's amazing how big it is. What got my attention was, though, that everybody on the ship, everybody was all standing on the right side, that port, I don't know, I wasn't a sailor, standing on the right side of the ship, and they're waving. They're all waving. They don't know anybody down there. Nobody cares about them. They're on that boat going somewhere, but it's just something they do. They're all waving because they're not waving to the crane driver. That's who's on the other side. So they're all waving. Look at us. Look at us. We paid $4,000, and we're going to go down to Puerto Vallarta and get beheaded. And, you know, and we're sitting there looking at them going, man, listen, put your hand down. Nobody cares about you. Amen. You get to see a lot of neat stuff traveling around. I know you're jealous. Surrender to evangelism. It's fun. I'll give you the book on this. Amen. But again, you know what's my point? That's a pretty fancy thing, and we got in on it because we were willing to get there early. And there's just benefits sometimes to getting in on things early. So that's why I'm going to just give you a couple areas like that tonight. Amen? Father, I love you tonight. And I thank you, God, to be among friends. I thank you, God, to be among friends of yours. Thank you, Lord God, that you've seen fit to put my wife and I into the ministry and just enable us to enjoy the fellowship of the cream of the crop. And Lord God, with that being said, we are a needy people. But Father, what makes us worthy of note of mention tonight is that we know what we need. We realize that there was a time when our sin was going to drag us to a devil's hell. And we got a hold of the fact that you went to the cross to meet that need. And we've got the blood of Jesus Christ in common, despite differences. And Father, Lord, as we assemble here tonight in this precious church, and folks make exception to their busy day and schedule and lives to come here. And they've come here to hear from you, and I pray that would be the case. I pray that, Lord, hearts would be receptive and that the Spirit of God could speak possibly through me, perhaps in spite of me. But, Lord God, I just pray tonight that the needs of these people would be met by Thee. They long for You. They long to hear Your Spirit speak to them tonight. We long for You to come. But until then, God, give us something. Give us something to stay in the fight. And we'll thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Early bird special tonight. Take your Bible. Go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Look at a couple things here that it'd be good to get in on early. Early. If there's something we're famous for is being late these days, but there's some benefit to being early. Amen. Let's see. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 27. Yep. There we go. And Abraham get up early in the morning to go to the... Okay, let's start again. And Abraham get up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. You know what he did? He got up early in the day. He got in early in the day to stand before God, to get with God, to get alone with God. Now, a significant thing to remember about Abraham is that he's called later a friend of God. Wouldn't that be a good thing for to be known as? The friend of God. And the passage says that he got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And I just want to say to you that, the track says he lived life in the fast lane. Listen, every American lives life in the fast lane. And you guys in the fastest lane of all. And you know what that means? That means it's easy to get up and get going and not make time for God. I want to remind you this morning, like we sang about, listen, don't neglect to make time. Hey, get up as early as you got to do what you got to do. But listen, make sure you make time to get with God. Amen. Amen. Get with the Lord early before the wheels start turning, man. Now, some of you, you're like me. When I realize that I'm not asleep anymore, before my eyes even open, the wheels are turning, man. I'm thinking about the day. I mean, that's if I go to bed without a thought on my mind, let alone when I go to bed anxious about something that's going to take place the next day. When I start realizing I'm waking up, there's things going on, and that's just how we are. We're busy folk, and I know this from experience. I hate to confess it. It's too easy to get up and get going without Him. Kind of hard when the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And we fail to acknowledge Him even with a simple thank you that I'm still breathing. And we ought to. He deserves it. He doesn't owe it to us. Amen. Talking about your breath there. Amen. Listen, you ladies with all the kids, man, you know this, man. When those kids start crying, you got to get up and get busy. I'm going to tell you something. You better figure out a way to get up before the baby starts crying, before the phone starts ringing, before the phone, before the flesh starts whining. Feed me, feed me, feed me. And you know what you'll do? It's just too easy to get going without God. You might need to get up early to make a point to do that. You might need to get up earlier. When I, you know, my daughter Evie, and I appreciate those that have inquired about her. And, she's, 19 and a half. She's got a job. She, got an apartment. She's doing real good in that way. And, so I appreciate your prayers for her. She loves you. She loves this church. So please keep praying for her. And, but there's a time, not only before she was out on her own, there's a time when, before God brought Mrs. Wonderful in my life, it was just me and Evie. Here I am, a 43-year-old, brand new evangelist with a 5-year-old little girl. And so guess what that means? That means that I'm not just her dad, I am also her mom. Mr. Mom. I get a Mother's Day card from her. Amen. That was interesting. I was just trying to learn how to be a decent human being and a dad. And then things had happened so that I got to learn how to be a mom. Amen. Here's what I learned, and you women already know this. When the kids wake up, they dominate your day. They depend on your attention. Amen. So I learned this. If you're going to get up and get along with God in the morning, you got to figure out their schedule and you got to adjust yours and you got to get up before them or you won't have any time. I learned the hard way. It's me and her living in this big house in East Dayton, and I'd get up in the morning, and I know this is hard to imagine. I would try to tiptoe, you know, down the hall and down the steps. I don't tiptoe very good in a big old house, let alone a motorhome. And she'd wake up, and she'd get out of bed, and here I am just trying to wake up and pour the coffee, and I got this five-year-old. I'm hungry. And you know, what do you say? Amen. It was my responsibility to try to take care of her. It wasn't very long before I realized this was interfering with my ability not only to pray, and I needed a lot back then, and so did she. She should have been the one up praying. Amen. But I needed time to get with God, to read my Bible, to study my Bible, to figure out what God wanted me to do. So I figured it out. You know, she got up around a certain time, and it was early. I had to get up earlier. I had to get up quite a bit earlier. If I was going to have any peace, amen, peace with God, alone with God, and that became more precious to me than sleep. Of course, this isn't in the message, but I had to learn to go to bed earlier. That'll be tomorrow night. Amen. So I'd get out of bed. I mean, I did. I got it to where I did sneak down the hall. I did. Sneak down the stairs. I did. I drank a pot of coffee before she ever woke up, and I done my praying, and done some studying, and worked on messages, and prayed some more. And here I'd hear them two little feet coming down the stairs, and there's my little ewe lamb, Daddy, you know, and I was ready to take care of her without feeling like I was neglecting the Lord. Say, what'd you do? Well, I had to learn how to get up earlier. Yeah, I know, it invaded my little comfort zone. But my comfort zone wasn't more important than God. I mean, I let it be a few times, and my soul thirsted for God. Amen. I had a pastor's wife down in Panama City. I was down there, Evie and I are down there preaching for him. This lady I'd known for years, this pastor and his wife, and she said, "Brother Dave, we're going to pray God gives you a wife." And I said, "I'll tell you the truth, man, I think I'm doing pretty good on my own." And she goes, "Yeah, you might be, but Evie needs a mother, Brother Dave." And God gave her one. God gave her a lady that loved her to death. And that was an answer to my prayers. Say, what are you saying? Well, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before God. It was important to Abraham. And beloved, it's gonna have to be important to us. And if it's not as important as it should be, and if you let that little detail go by the wayside because you're busy, because you work, because you have children, I'm admonishing you tonight to not let that issue of getting alone with God and praying go by. Like I said, thank God for grace. Thank God for faith. Thank God for mercy. All the things. But I'm going to tell you what. We are a people dependent upon one another's prayers. We are dependent upon getting hold of God on one another's behalf. We have an enemy. We have an adversary. We are in a warfare. We are in a battle. And what do we know? Well, our weapons, they're not carnal. They're spiritual. Oh, listen, perhaps the most important spiritual weapon we have is prayer.
Yep. Right.
Amen. Go to Mark chapter 1. Abraham, man of God. Now that's pretty good example to follow. Friend of God. Amen. Used of God. He got up early. But let's look again. Let's look again. And it says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible says, and in the morning, look at now, look, rising up a great while before day. A great while before day, before dawn, before daylight. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Boy, if Abraham's not a good enough example for you, how about the Lord Jesus Christ himself? That Bible specifically records that not only in the morning, but a great while before dawn. You know, the Lord was a pretty busy guy. Pretty busy guy. What was he doing? Things no one else could do. Amen. But the Bible is careful. See, it's significant tonight what the Bible makes a point to say, because everything it says is important. And it just slips little things like that in on you. And what it says is that rising up a great while before day, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, departed, got away from the crowd, got away from the madness, no television, no internet, amen, no newspaper, just got away and into a solitary place. But it wasn't solitary because he was there with God. And again, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to make time to pray. People ask me, Brother Spurgeon, did you ever run into the old crowd? The old crowd, the old bike gang, my old buddies, you know, that weren't too thrilled about me getting saved and all that. And I said, no, you know. They said, aren't you worried? And I said, well, I'm so worried that I moved all the way across town and put my address on a back of a gospel tract and printed 1.5 million of them. No, I'm not worried. I've got a God that can rescue me from a devil. I don't guess he's going to have a problem with anybody else either. Amen. That's just how I look at it, you know. Amen. That's just how I didn't live in fear before I got saved when I had reason to. I'm not going to now. Amen. But someone asked me that one time, Brother Spurgeon, you ever run into the old crowd? And I wanted to give him an answer that wasn't as spiritual as the one I just gave you. So here's what I said. I said, no, I don't. I don't run into them. When I got saved, I went on a different shift than they're on. I say, what do you mean? Well, I mean, when I was in the motorcycle gangs, we'd sleep till noon and then maybe 2 or 3. And when it started to get evening, then we'd get out and we'd be out all night. I saw dawn every day, but I saw 4 and 5 and 3 as well. Amen. And that's the crowd that I used to run with. They're out there at night. The Bible says men love darkness because their deeds are evil. So when I got saved, I started going to bed at a decent hour. I started getting up at a decent hour. Man, I remember hearing birds sing. I'm going, what is that noise? Yeah, things like that. Going out early in the morning, man, enjoying a beautiful day like we've been having. And I'm going, wow, what are all these people doing? Well, they're going to work. That was something else the Lord had in store for me. Amen. But what a blessing. No, I don't run into, because now I get up early. Why? So I can talk to God and pray and read His Word and maybe even get out there and say something for Him. It's a blessing. Listen, there's some virtue to getting in on some things early. David said, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Amen. So looks scriptural, doesn't it? You know, some of you are going to say, and you got right to say this, I already get up early. I get up early to go to work. Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate that, and we do appreciate that. But I just want to admonish you tonight. Maybe you need to make a point to get up a little earlier. So before you go to work, you can go to the throne of grace. Amen. Get some direction from God. Obtain find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Don't get so busy that you forget you need God a whole lot more than He needs you. Amen and amen. Luke chapter 21. Talking about getting in on some things early. And boy, I tell you what, first and foremost, that's going to include getting with God. Luke chapter 21 and verse 38. Now look what it says here. And all the people came early in the morning to Him, Lord Jesus Christ, in the temple for to hear Him. You know what they're doing now? They're getting up early to go to church. Amen. Some people, man, have a hard time. I see this all over the country. Have a hard time making it to church on Sunday morning. Amen. They drag in. And you know why? Because, again, they stay up too late on Saturday night. And instead of looking toward, looking forward to what we do on Saturday night, generally, been doing it for years now, is get our stuff ready for Sunday morning. We're anticipating coming into the house of the Lord. We're anticipating being in church. I'm talking about because we're in a ministry. This one before we were in the ministry. Amen. Because church is a big deal. We don't ever have the conversation, do you feel like going this morning? We don't ever. It's never been asked. Amen. It's just a given. We're Christians. We're supposed to go to church. You know, if you're providentially hindered, you got to work, or you're sick, that's one thing. But that's about it, isn't it? Amen. That's what I think. And here's the example. The people came in early to hear him. Why? He is preaching. Amen. It's scriptural. We had a great crowd yesterday morning, so I'm not saying that we have that problem here, but I know this, man. If you're not on it, you don't stay on top of it. That flesh, man, will find every reason in the world to just show up an hour late. You know, just show up for the preaching. Man, you're missing out when you have that mentality. Amen. Now listen, this is a blessing. We get to park here in your parking lot. But a lot of times we're in campgrounds, and sometimes we're 10 miles away, 15. We've been in campgrounds 30 miles away from a church and driven back and forth every night. Amen? And I know some of you do that for church, and we appreciate that. But here's the thing I noticed one time, especially you get down south, you get down there in the Bible Belt, and there's churches everywhere, and we got driving to church. Now, one morning, church where we were going, I had a Sunday school class started at 10 o'clock, and because we're a half hour, 35 minutes away, we're on the road early, get there in time, and we just talk about a Methodist church, Lutheran church, Catholic church, we just start driving by, and on the way, their parking lots are filling up! They don't even have the book! Then we get to the church that I'm going to, and people straggle in for the first hour, and then maybe we got a crowd by the 11 o'clock hour, and it just struck me, how do people make a point to make it that they're not hearing the preaching of the Word of God? There's nothing oftentimes, anything for the Spirit of God to bear witness to, but they got the character to get to church early, be there when it's meeting, and I just think we ought to too. Amen. Here's what people say. If you do any personal work, you've run into this. Come on out to church Sunday. We'd love to have you. You invite people, don't you? I know you do. We get visitors. Here's what people say. Well, that's my only day to sleep in. Or play golf. Or mow the lawn. Or go fishing. But let's just stick with the first one. People say, that's my only day to sleep in. Yeah, because they're not going to blow one of their weekend days, Saturday, sleeping in. They got things to do. Amen. Now listen, that's how lost people think. Again, if you've done much personal work, you know that you'll hear that. But that's not how you're supposed to think. That's not how Christians are supposed to think. Christians are supposed to look forward to coming to church, to getting around to preaching of God's Word, to be around God's people. Listen, iron sharpeneth iron. You're not getting sharpened out there. You're getting dulled. Whether it's work or school, you're getting dulled. And here's what's happening. We're losing our edge. We're losing our edge. Maybe we just need to get back to getting into it early. Amen. All right? Psalm 46. Go to Psalm 46. Early bird special. It's early in the week anyway. Now just look at there in Psalm 46, verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Why? God shall help her. And that right early. You know what we need? We need help from God. We need help from God in this area right here. We need help from God because we are tempted to do wrong on a regular basis. Amen. So let me say, seek Him early when you're tempted to sin. He'll help you. Early, early. You don't have to mess up every time if you'd seek Him early. Amen. Listen, we're all tempted. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how spiritual you think you are, how much Bible you know, how many years you've been a member. Well, here's why I say that. Well, you don't know me. I know I don't. I know the Bible, though. The Bible says, but every man is tempted, James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Listen, I can't name the names like some of you can, but there are empty chairs in this church because that's what happened. Lust conceived, amen. Lust conceived, and sin was brought forth, and sin, when it is finished, Bible says, bringing forth death. And they might not be dead, but their walk with God is. Testimony to a lost and dying world is. Some of the marriages are. You give in to temptation. Could I say that temptation is a part of life? It really is. It says every man is tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. It's a part of life. So here's what needs to be a part of your life, Christian. You need to get in the habit of seeking God early when you're tempted. That verse in 1 Corinthians 10 says, goes on to say, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Bear what? Bear the temptation. Amen. Temptation's part of life. What do you do about it? You lean, like Brother Pat said, you lean on Jesus Christ. He'll make a way to escape. You know what our problem is? We don't ask for it. We don't ask for the way to escape. How about this? Lord, save me! How about help? Amen. How about turn and run? Because you know better sometimes. And we don't. We don't. But we ought to. We ought to. It said, He will make a way to escape. So when you mess up and you got to get counseled, don't you dare say, I was tempted with something I couldn't resist. Because you're a liar or God is. Now, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I'm way more concerned with His than I am yours. And that book says that He will make. Now, you may have to confess this. You may have to confess that you didn't resist. But don't you say you can't. Don't you say you couldn't. Don't you say you didn't have a choice, because you do. Because you got God in you, don't you? Well, He makes promises. He's never broke one. He's not like us. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read it. Or you can go there. It doesn't matter too much. But I want to just hit on a verse here that seems like sometimes we have troubles that it seems as if this is comes as a surprise to people. Verse 1 of Hebrews 12, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, see, He gives that so great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, and then He says to believers that He's talking to, seeing as we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Amen. You know what that means? That means there's an area where you are weak. Amen. Growing in the grace of the Lord doesn't mean you're impervious to temptation. It means you get a hold of where your weaknesses are. Amen. It says lay aside. Listen, here's what Christians need to get a hold of. You need to learn to acknowledge the red flag. Man, there's things that I get around that I don't need to be around. And listen, we're talking about motorcycles the other day. Lord told me I had to turn from that because of that period in my life. And I'm glad I listened. He called me to preach 2 weeks after I sold the last one. Amen. I never bought another one because, you know, because I it's more important to serve God for me. I had to do what God told me to do. You hear me? Amen. That might not be a temptation to someone else, but it was to me. And we've all got areas. We've all got... Let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Here's the way it goes, man. Here's our... We need... And this is the problem, and the devil cashes in on this. We live in such a fast-paced world with the volume of activity so loud in our lives, so many things going on, oftentimes good things, wonderful things, serving God things. Sometimes, though, the volume, if you'll let me phrase it like that, gets so loud that we don't hear the still, small voice of God. Now, if you haven't heard it for a while, I'm gonna tell you what he says so that maybe you'll recognize it. I'll tell you what he says to me often. No! You hear me? That's what the still small voice, not the no. Amen? But see, we get busy, we get going, and we don't hear that. And the red flags go up, and areas that snared us before snare us again and again and again. The weight and the sin would just easily beset us. You know, why don't we make it hard on the devil? Listen, when I was in pugil stick training in the military, we had a great big old guy, and he was amazing with the pugil sticks. That was bayonet training. And, man, I watched him, and I'm a little guy then, and he was nailing everybody. He was the champ. He was the king of the hill. He is knocking guys down, and I knew, I'm a farm boy back then, and I knew he was going to kill me. My name's Spurgeon, so I'm way down in the list, and finally my time's coming. And I watched him for a long time. And you know what he did? He was so intimidating because of his size and his speed and his success that he would fake once and come across with a butt stroke, and it was working for him every time. And I thought, you know what? If this guy's going to take me out, he's not going to take me out doing the exact same thing I've been watching him do to everybody else. So when I got up there and he faked, I came across with a butt stroke and knocked him on his. Well, you know what I'm saying? You know, we make it so easy for the devil, man. Let's make him change up his methods once in a while. He's got us to a T. He observes us. He knows what our besetting sins are. He knows the weight. He knows the issue. He knows the areas. He knows we're not listening to God. And we struggle with the same thing over and over. We don't make much progress. Hey, listen. It's a fight. Sometimes you get knocked around in a fight. But let's make him change up his methods a little bit. You hear me? Let's seek him early when we share this common affliction known as temptation. Amen. So, number one, early in the day. Seek him early. Early in the day. Seek him early. In temptation, don't wait until you blow it every time. Amen. Learn from your mistakes. Problem is, we don't sometimes. Problem is, we go ahead and mess up, and it's too late to seek him early in temptation because we've already got a sin issue. Now we got a problem. Now we got something that's causing him not to hear, that's separating us between us and our God. And Brother Burton, you said, seek him early when you're tempted, but I didn't. And now there's something between me and him. Well, okay, you blew it. And boy, that's part of life too, isn't it? Sometimes. Can I say to you, it's not too late to repent. Seek him early when you do sin. Seek him early when you do mess up. Get on your face and tell him, hey, keep short accounts. Don't let it keep piling up. Amen. When a sweet, tender spirit of God is grieved, and get on your face and tell God you're sorry. Quickly. Early. Don't let that thing take root. Amen. Don't let that thing cause the spirit to be quenched. Acknowledge him early. It says in Psalm 90, verse 14, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. But that's what God's mercy does to me. Listen, I've had to go before God and confess my sins to get fellowship restored, and it's been uncomfortable, and I've had to go to others and say I was sorry so that I could go to God and say, I tried to make it right, and it's humbling and it's embarrassing, and then when the peace of God gets restored, it's worth it! It's worth it. Amen, it really is. And you know that thing it says, let us come therefore boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Amen. It goes on to say, and find grace to help in time of need. So that should be a regular visit in your life. The throne of grace, talking to God, obtaining, finding grace to help. But the first part of that says to obtain mercy. Now mercy and grace aren't the same. Mercy is what you need when you messed up. Well, what do they say? Throw yourself on the mercy of the court. That's when you're asking the judge not to give you what you rightfully deserve. You know, that throne of grace is a good place to go for help. It's a good place to go for worship. It's a good place to go to acknowledge God. It's a good place to go for mercy. Because sometimes that's just what we need. We need mercy because there's a long list. Whoever you are, there's an area where you need to visit that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Maybe it's an inward sin. Okay? Maybe it's an outward sin. But we all got them. We all got them. And you need to visit that throne of grace to obtain mercy when you do mess up. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. Mess up, sin, whatever you want to call it. Amen? Don't just wallow in it. Don't be overcome with sorrow. Just take advantage of the Savior's way to get it right and get fellowship restored and get up and go on. I heard a story one time. These two guys robbed a bank, and it's always like this. It's usually like this. It's an older and a younger. A lot of older troublemakers or convicts have got a lot of young guys in a lot of trouble. Don't you be hanging around somebody if they're trying to paint a picture of a life that isn't right with God as being attractive. It's not attractive. It'll get you in trouble. And this story here, they got busted. And the one guy had been in prison before, and he knew what was coming. And they robbed a bank, and they get before the judge. And the kid says, Your Honor, I've never been in trouble before, and I promise I'll go straight, and I've just thrown myself on the mercy of the court. That's what he said. Well, son, I'm sorry. This is a pretty serious crime, and I'm sentencing both you guys to 20 years. 20 years in prison. And the older convict, he just shrugged, you know, he knew. But that young guy, you know what he said? He said, Your Honor, I can't do 20 years in prison. You know what the judge said? Just do all you can, son. Just do all you can. See what he's saying, brother? He didn't get mercy. But you can. And if you'll go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, and if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And mercy is available. And I'm going to just say to you, get it early. Get it early. Amen. Go to Numbers 14. Did we do that yesterday? Oh my, I might need help on this. N-U, not E-X. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There it is. Numbers 14. Man, this is the... Oh, no, Lord, don't let me do this again. Verse 40. Man, I'm gun-shy now. Numbers 14, look what it says. Now these are God's people here. This is the nation of Israel. It says, and they rose up early in the morning and get them up unto into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised. Well, that's all good. But the reason is after the colon. It says, For we have sinned. I'm just trying to tell you tonight to go to God early when you sin. I find that significant that it says they rose up early in the morning and they made this journey and they did whatever, exerted what effort needed to be done. Why? Because there's something on their heart. There's something on their mind. There's something that bothers them. You ever been like that? You ever gone to bed at night with anticipation of a coming event? Amen. And just got up early and it captivated your thoughts and you got about, that's what the Bible says they did here. They got up early so they could get to the place where they're supposed to go because they needed to get right with God. Amen. That's what you should do. Their sin bothered them so bad. They got up early and they had to get it right. And here's why. This isn't like the day after they sinned. This took a while. But they finally figured out that their sin, whatever it was, wasn't worth coming between them and God any longer. Whatever the pleasures of sin were for that season, they realized that they had lost fellowship with their loving God. And as a group, as a nation, as a congregation, the Scripture records they got up early so they could go get it right. Again, they finally came to the place where they realized that whatever it was coming between them and God. And they wanted to get it right. Whatever it was, wasn't worth it. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You'll do well to get to that place too. You'll do well to get to that place when you figure out that whatever it is that's between you and God isn't worth it. Amen and amen. I heard a preacher say it like this one time. Don't force God to reveal a sin in your life that He's dealing with you about and you're well aware of, but you won't get it right and you're holding on to it and you've deceived yourself into thinking that you're going to be the exception. Don't force God to reveal that when He's given you a chance to get it right while it's still just between you and Him. Wouldn't it be better? If the Lord's dealing with you about something tonight, has been for a while, some sin, some issue, you know, yes, you're saved. Yes, you're in church tonight. Yes, you sing the songs. Yes, you go on the mission trip. Yes, you might do a lot of things right. But if there's something between you and your Savior tonight and you know it, it'll be a good day when you figure out that you're on the losing end of that proposition and get that thing right and get that thing settled and then get up with fellowship and joy and God restored in your life. All right. Number one, early in your life. Number two, early in temptation. Number three, early in sin. Last of all, Proverbs chapter 8. Go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Look what it says. Verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Amen? Now, I've given you Isaiah 55 twice yesterday. Verse 6 said, Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Our verse here says, those that seek me early shall find me. You can get over there in Proverbs chapter 1 and find that you can wait, and then when you seek God, you won't find him if you wait too long. Proverbs 1, read it yourself. But it says there, they that seek me early, those that seek me early shall find me. And over there in Isaiah 55, and I won't read the verse again, but it talks about if let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and God will have mercy upon him and he'll abundantly pardon it. Boy, I thank God for that. Like Brother Dean said, I was 2 months shy of 38 years old when I got saved, and I was a wicked man and I was an unrighteous man, and God had mercy upon me. And better than that, not only did he save my soul, he pardoned me. And now he lets me just have the best friends and the best job and the best wife. God's just abundantly good to me. Amen. So I'm glad God saves old sinners. Like the song goes. I know some of you are afraid I'm going to break into song. But I'm telling you something about it. As glad as I am that God saves old sinners, you know what I'm even more glad about? I'm glad he saves young sinners. I really am. I'm so thankful for that. Listen, and I'm not alone in this room when I say, would to God, some of you never experienced some of the garbage that we got in our minds. Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't wait as long as some of us did. Somebody, I don't have a track. I put some back there by the CD rack, by the way. Somebody held up the track and said, "Oh, Brother Spurgeon, I just read your testimony. What a great testimony." Man, I tell you what, I don't look at it that way. I have a disgusting, embarrassing, horrible testimony of a kid raised in a decent, hardworking, Midwestern community. Went to church as a kid. Didn't hear the gospel just right. Never got saved. But there's no excuse for me to end up in the drugs and the alcohol. No excuse, and I'm ashamed of it. And if God didn't see fit to use it, I would never mention it. I don't have a good testimony at all. If there's anything good in that track, if there's anything good in my testimony, you know what it is? It's the mercy of God. That's what's good. I had a teenage girl one time at a youth rally. I was giving my testimony, and she stood up after, a tender girl, been in church all her life, saved probably before she was 10 years old, and almost apologetically, you could hear it in her voice, "Well, I don't have a testimony like Brother Spurgeon." Because there's this mentality that the farther down in the horrible pit you were, the better. Come on. She said, I'm just glad God saved me. Let me tell you something. That girl had a better testimony than I'll ever have. Could I say to you that get in on this thing about salvation early. Get in on this thing about selling out to God early.
Yes, sir.
Listen, don't you ever apologize to anyone because you never did dope. Or you never tasted liquor. Don't you apologize to anybody because you never lived wickedly. You got a better testimony because of it. Yeah, there ain't no joy in the mess some of us got pulled out of. It's just a crying shame sometimes that gets undeserved attention. Best testimony there is. Get saved young. Listen to the preaching. Listen to your parents. Get saved. God's a wonderful God. That world that chew you up and spit you out. Man, I've been there, and I'll wager you this. I'm probably a tougher young man than anybody in here. I'll just say it. I was a paratrooper at 18 years old. And that world, that devil didn't have any problem with me at all. Ain't gonna have no problem with you. But God can do something for you. God can do something with you. God can make your life worth something. You that are saved young and living for God, my hat's off to you. I respect you. Amen. Get in early. Stay in. Don't fall for the devil's lies. He's a liar! Back where we started, Psalm 63 and verse 1, he said, "Oh God, Thou art my God." Is He your God tonight? I didn't even ask you if you're saved. I said, "Is He your God? Is He your Lord? Not your Savior. Is He your Master?" That's what He's for. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." You know what that means? That means He's on the throne. That means He's on the throne. He's not on every throne of every professing Christian, because it's not a love seat. And there's only room for one. And if you're occupying that position, you need to get off and you need to get down and you need to repent. And you'll be so glad you did. This is the only thing where if you surrender, you become the winner. I know, you're tough. I'm so impressed. You're so tough. You're so cool. I am impressed. Right. I'm going to tell you what impresses me. And I already have, haven't I? Live for God, man. It's wonderful. "Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee." Seek God early. You'll find Him. Bible says so. Seek Him early in the day. Make time for God. He made time for you. Amen? In temptation, hold Him to His promise. He said He'd make a way to escape. Not just hold Him to His promise. When something's coming at you and your flesh wants to head that way, just say, "God, God." He said, and He will. You know what our problem is? God is the last thing on our mind when temptation comes. That's why we have problems that we have. All right, learn from your mistakes. But if you fail, if you don't resist, if you don't take advantage of the way to escape, well, if you go ahead and sin, then could I say to you, do not accept defeat. A just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. A failure falleth 7 times. Is it? Just stay down. Don't stay down. On the street we used to say, don't judge a man by how he goes down. Judge a man by how he gets up. Some of you need to get up. And get back in the fight. The Marines are looking for a few good men. Hey, God's looking for a few good men. And ladies too. Sell out and serve God. Maybe that's what God ordered this message tonight. Maybe somebody needs to sell out. Sign up. Purpose in their heart. They will not defile themselves any longer. Daniel got away with it. We're reading about him thousands of years later. Young man. You don't have to come from a mess like some of us. Do something for God. Amen. And then last of all in your life, get saved, sell out, live for God. It's the best life. The best testimony. Amen. And if you're not saved here tonight, young or old, and maybe you're old like I was, better late than never, you need to be. And the good news is you can be. And the door is still open to heaven. It's still just Jesus, but it's still open. And mercy's available. I'm glad I got it. I hope you get it. Hope you get it while you can. Tonight would be a good night to get saved, wouldn't it? If you're here tonight and you know somebody that's not saved, would you pray for them? Would you pray that God would make it easy for them to see that their greatest need doesn't have anything to do with religion? Their greatest need doesn't have anything to do with turning over a new leaf? Their greatest need doesn't have anything to do with going straight? Their greatest need is Jesus Christ. And if you know somebody that needs to succumb to the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God, would you pray for them? unless the Spirit of God is already dealing with you about something you need to get right. Get it right so that you can pray for them. Let's stand and bow our heads. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.